How should I honor and honor? You're still the same, no Lord. By the power of your name, how should I encounter Adonai?
We now praise and lift you high. How should I?
We now praise and lift you high.
We now praise and lift you high.
How should I?
How should I? We now praise and lift you high.
We now praise and lift you high.
How should I? Father, we worship you. Who is like unto you? Faithful to 1,000 generations. From the time of Adam in the Garden of Eden, through the times of Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Joshua, Moses, David, you haven't changed. Still the same. We love you. We honor you. We revere you. We stand in awe of you. For you're making it clearer and clearer to us who you truly are. And the more we see, the more we marvel. The more we see, the more we are in awe. El Shaddai. We enter your word now. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, asking for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I will speak as I should, as an oracle of God. And I pray you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here and those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words. Follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful. Yes, Father, that I may deliver this word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all's in agreement, receiving every blessing mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives. All agreed individually and said. Amen. Today's message is entitled, God's Kingdom and Righteousness. These are truths we are familiar with, but God brings greater depth of revelation and understanding concerning them. I would like you to turn in your Bibles to the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. And I'm going to be reading from verse 33. In actual fact, I will start from verse 31 to keep it in its context. Why Jesus said what he said and our understanding of it will help us to apply it functionally in our lives. I think one of the greatest problems we have in the church today is a lot of knowledge, but that is not acted upon. We have a lot of head knowledge. E.W. Kenyon said in one of his books, he said that Many times, you know, we are using high sounding spiritual expressions that have no inner meaning in our hearts. We're playing a game of bluff. Each one telling the other to do what he does not do himself. I smiled there right after. I said, how true. Everybody talks, but how many people do? Now, my wife and I were reminiscing to the glory of God on the three-year anniversary of Good Morning Jesus. When we started, it looked as if, wow, will people be able to sustain this? Talk is one thing. Doing is another. Doing is a completely different ball game. And that's why the Bible tells in the book of James, he said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. He said, because if a man is a hearer and not a doer, he said, he deceives himself. And he forgets the kind of man he is. He said, but if a person goes and he's a doer of the work, it takes work to do God's word. Work. But it's not the work of the flesh, it's the work of the spirit. But it's still work. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes sacrifice. Those of you who, by the grace and the mercy of God, have been following us in this Good Morning Jesus venture, you know, in these past 3 years, you know what I'm talking about. It's not the easiest thing to get up at 3:30 in the morning. Every day. You know, before, the way people used to do it is that they'll do it once, and they may not do it for another week. Then they'll do it again, and then they may do it 2-3 days later. You know, that's how it's been up and down. But to be consistent. It takes the grace of God. That is why it takes grace to do what God says. No man can do God's word by his strength. It's mercy and grace. So the Lord Jesus tells us, he says, I'm going to read from verse 31. Therefore, take no thought. That's what the old King James says. Some of the other modern translations, you know, the Amplified says, therefore, do not worry or be anxious. That's the context in which I'm going to be talking. You know, the New International Version says, so do not worry. I think worry is one of the biggest sins in the church. You know why? Everybody worries. And we don't see it as, you know, if somebody went to drink alcohol, you say, oh, he's a sinner. You know, or if somebody, God forbid, went to fornicate or commit adultery, but oh, that's a terrible sin, you know. And they are. Don't misunderstand me. But you know, worry is terrible. It's a terrible sin. And the reason why they worry is what I'm about to teach and preach to you. Because they don't understand God's kingdom and his righteousness. That's why we worry. People worry about everything. Worry about, particularly in this day of COVID-19, worrying about the economy, worrying about money, worrying about clothes, worrying about the third Delta variant of the COVID-19. I was reading the, watch it on the news. You know, there's a new, there's another wave, a third, not second, third, you know, of this Delta variant. In Australia, in Sydney, they've just gone into another lockdown. Even though there have been vaccinations and everything, but there's worry. And the only antidote to overcome worry in these end times, in these perilous times, is to understand, and by the grace and the mercy of God, the Holy Spirit is going to help me to break it down for you, God's righteousness. Not your own righteousness. That's the problem. God's kingdom and his righteousness. It's not your own righteousness. It's God's righteousness. I'm going to explain it to you as the Holy Spirit helps me. Say, therefore, don't worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? These are legitimate human needs, food and raiment. After all these things, and this is a great statement, you see, God is not impractical. God is not, you know, utopic. You know, he doesn't just talk. He said, for all these things do the Gentiles or the nations seek. That's what men seek. Watch this. For your heavenly Father, I didn't hear you, knoweth that you have need of all these things. God is aware. He knows you need food. He knows you need drink. He knows you need clothing. He knows you need protection against COVID. He knows, you know, you need protection against armed banditry, kidnapping, and all the things that can cause worry in this day and hour in which we're living in. It's as if, Pastor G, Mommy, the world has gone crazy. Everything's gone upside down. Everything we, you know, things we took for granted barely a year ago, you can't take it for granted now. The other day I wanted to go somewhere, you know, my security were telling me, Daddy, you're the gummy daddy, your pastor, you know, please take extra people. You know, that road now, all kinds of funny things happen. I said, don't worry, I'll be fine. I prayed and, you know, I went and I came back. Everything was fine. Yeah, but people worry. Legitimately so. Because they've, you know, you hear of this, you hear of that, you hear of that. The Bible says, you know, evil tidings. It's abounding in the day in which we're living in. But God has an answer. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has an answer. And God will give you, turn to your neighbor, say, God will give you an answer of peace. Now, I'm going to tell you the answer. The Father knows you have need of all these things, but Jesus is telling you the answer to the worry problem. Turn to your neighbor and say, worry is a sin. It's as much a sin as drunkenness. Pastor Boy guy's laughing. He was looking at Mommy. But how many people here will go home after the service and go and take a bottle of beer or a bottle of whiskey or some other alcoholic drink and start just drinking it? Nobody's going to do that. Because you know it's going to get you intoxicated and all of that. Well, worry will intoxicate you. It will mess your mind up. As surely as whiskey or alcohol will. And the thing about worry is that it's much more subtle. You know, sometimes people's minds are, you know, entrapped with worry. Just like when a person is drunk and he can't see clearly, he can't think straight. People can't think straight when they're worrying. Oh, I didn't hear amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. It's true. It's a disease of the mind. But, this is the great but. God always has, don't your neighbor say, God always has a but for anything the devil does. But, seek ye secondly. See why you worry? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And his, this is very important. Everybody say, his righteousness, not yours. See, a lot of our righteousness is ours. I'm going to explain in a minute. And all these things, what things? Turn to your neighbor and say, what things? What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. Will be added unto you. In Nigeria we say it's Jara. Observe. Great truth here. He didn't say you should pray about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear. Now, there's a place to pray for prosperity. Don't misunderstand me. But here, Jesus is telling you that if you will seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, without praying about them, what you will eat, what you will drink, and what you will wear will be added unto you. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. It'll be added without asking for it. Now, there's a place for asking, praying for prosperity where you sow seed, you pray for the wisdom of God to prosper you. There's a place for that. But this desperate prayer of what you're going to eat and drink, Jesus said, it will be totally unnecessary if you are enforcing, and I use that word deliberately, God's kingdom and his righteousness, if you are walking in it. So let's get down to it, the nitty gritty. Let's first of all talk about God's kingdom. The word kingdom, and we looked at this last time when I talked about the seven keys of the kingdom, and I explained it, you know, it means the dominion of the king, and God is the king. So let's keep it simple. God's kingdom is the dominion of God. Is when God's dominion is a region, a place, a life, a body, a family, where God's dominion is enforced. Where God is dominating. That's what the word kingdom means. It doesn't mean going to heaven alone. Of course, the kingdom of God is also in heaven. But he's talking about what the things that are going on earth. Jesus is talking about things. He says, what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, you know. He said, these are things that the Gentiles, he's talking about the earth. He's not talking about heaven. He's talking about enforcing the dominion of God here on earth. The Lord's Prayer. We mentioned this last week. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Too many Christians, when they think of the kingdom of God, they're always thinking about heaven. Yes, the kingdom of God is in heaven, but that's not the point. The point here is that we want it here on earth. Now, the kingdom of God is the dominion of God. Where God's dominion is, it would dominate sickness. It would dominate sin. It will dominate poverty. It will dominate ignorance. It will dominate foolishness. Where God dominates. Now, we need to understand that the dominion of God is not automatic simply because you're a Christian. We have this impression, you know, that, well, you know, I've been born again, and there are scriptures for it. You know, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's yes, son. True. That's very true. You know, we have been moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's dear son. However, even though that is true, you have to enforce it. It's not automatic. It will just work in your life because you are in the kingdom of God. Let me be more specific. For instance, I just use this as an example. The Bible says, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. It didn't even say you are healed. It said you were. But we know, you know as well as I do, that even though we're Christians, and by the stripes of Jesus, we're healed, which is a legal, what Jesus bought for us legally on the cross. If you don't enforce it, sickness will still come on your body. And millions of Christians are suffering from sickness as I speak now. Millions are dying. Not because of the will of God, but because they do not know how to enforce the dominion of God over sickness. So when we're talking about dominion of God, we have been legally moved into the kingdom of God. But we must now vitally, experientially enforce it in our lives so that we can enjoy the benefits thereof. It is not automatic. Yes, you will go to heaven when you die. But God doesn't want you to die prematurely and go to heaven when you did not enjoy his kingdom when you were on earth. I don't know if you can say amen. So, let's talk a little bit more about the kingdom. I'm going to talk a little bit and then I'll go to his righteousness. Paul gives us a revelation on what the kingdom is in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. And you know what he says? Paul says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. He says, but righteousness, I'm going to come back to righteousness in a minute, peace and joy, then he puts it, this is a very important aspect in the Holy Ghost. Let me expatiate on that. It means that the dominion of God is the dominion of righteousness, which is right doing and right standing. I'm going to come back to that. The dominion of peace. The dominion of joy. So if you are in a place of depression, you're not enjoying the kingdom. If you are in a place of worry and turmoil, you know, you're not enjoying the kingdom. Because the kingdom is dominion of peace. I didn't write that. Paul did. And I echo Paul under the Holy Ghost. What is the kingdom of God? It is the dominion. The dominion. The word dominion comes from the word dominate. Ordinarily, we think of dominating, you know, in a negative sense. But this is positive now. Where you dominate. Righteousness, watch this. Righteousness dominates sin. Peace dominates turmoil. Joy dominates depression. And, you know, that's putting it like that now makes you examine your own life and ask yourself, wow, am I enjoying the kingdom? To what degree in my life, in your life, is righteousness dominating sin? To what degree is peace dominating worry and turmoil? To what degree is joy dominating sadness and depression? There's this horrible thing in the church now. It's working on pastors as well as the flock. Many Christians are depressed. Particularly in the Western, but even here too, you know, they're looking for therapy. Going to psychiatrists to try and, you know, talk them through their problem so that they can have peace of mind. Whereas God gives it to you here free. The dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy. Now, the rhetorical question, and I'm going to answer it, is why? Why is it that we are not enjoying the dominion of righteousness over sin, the dominion of joy, you know, over depression, dominion of peace over turmoil in many of our Christian lives? We're not enjoying that dominion. Why? There's a very simple reason. And this reason is many times obscure. That is hidden from many Christians because many times we don't read our Bible. When I say we don't read it, what I mean is we don't study, meditate, pray, you know, for revelation and pray in tongues. So we don't have a revelation of it. We have the head knowledge, but we don't have a revelation of it. This was what the Lord Jesus himself said. Not Olubi Johnson, the Lord Jesus, but I am echoing him. And you know what he said in Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 12. Excuse me. Yeah, chapter 11 and in verse 12. I'm going to read it first of all from the King James. Then I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. It says, and from the days, I didn't hear you, of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The Amplified Bible, you know, and some of the other translations, I'll just read that, says, and from the days of John the Baptist unto the present time, the kingdom of God has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. The New International Version says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been subject to violence and violent people have been raiding it. You know, God's word says that the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful people have been seizing it. You now know why we don't have dominion in our lives. Why? Most Christians are not violent spiritually. There's something Kenneth Copeland used to say. He said it jokingly. But I say it sometimes to people, and people get offended sometimes. I say, ah, you know, what do you mean? You know, I say, are you praying? He said, yeah, I'm praying. I said, I'm not talking about your Mickey Mouse prayers. I heard it from Kenneth Copeland. Mickey Mouse. Well, you know, Mickey Mouse is this cartoon, you know, in Walt Disney. Yeah, you know, just, that's not serious praying. You want the kingdom in your life? You have to take it violently by force. You can now understand why we're not seeing the dominion of God in any great measure of righteousness over sin. We're not seeing the dominion of peace over turmoil. We're not seeing the dominion of joy over depression in many Christian lives because they don't understand how to violently
Spiritual violence, not physical. Spiritual. Paul put it another way. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness of this world. Wicked spirits in the heavenly places. This Mickey Mouse Christianity, or just, you know, just pray, you know, what I call headache. Okay, I can learn that from Gary Copeland also. You know, headache prayer. Just, Father, bless me today, you know, and just be with me. In Jesus' name. I can't pray and go get anything done. That's not violently taking the kingdom. Violently. You snatch it. You enforce it by the force of spiritual arms through the ministry of angels. That's why God has the Holy Spirit has asked me to preach this message. There are things you've heard before. But there has to be a new emphasis on spiritual violence in the place of prayer and intercession. That's where groanings and tongues comes in. And even after you've prayed with tongues and groanings and all of that, you need to bind the devil. The same Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bind on earth is bound in the heavenlies. And whatever you loose on earth will be permitted in the heavens. You are in control. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are in control. We are in control. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. If I forbid something on earth by the power of the Holy Ghost, automatically I lock the heavens. And the principalities and powers and the rulers of the land of this world, Satan, they can't do anything. But you know, I need to know who I am. And then I have to be able to have the spiritual force, the spiritual power. You know, what the Bible calls dunamis. See, there are two things. Authority and power. If you're in Christ, you already have authority. But if you have authority and you don't back it with power, Satan will roughshod over your authority. It's like armed robbers. Armed robbers know it is wrong. It is not their legal right to go to somebody's house to go and steal. They know that. The thing does not belong to them. And then you will put policemen, you know, maybe in front of a bank or something. The policeman, by his uniform, he has authority. But if a stronger than he comes upon him, that's what Jesus said. He said, when a strong man armed keeps his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon and overcomes him, then he takes his goods away from him. I'll not be your portion in Jesus' name. That's why you have to be strong in the spirit. Amen. So, you know, you got three policemen. I'm just giving a hypothetical example. You know, with old guns. You know, Mark Ford as, you know, Shakabula. You know, you fires one, then he goes again and fire. And then you now come with 10 armed robbers who have, you know, AK-47s or Uzis that are firing 100 rounds a minute. Now you want to fire him with, you want to come against him with a gun that's going boom, you're a dead man. Yes, the policemen have authority. I'm using natural illustration to illustrate a spiritual truth. They even have power. But something has come against them that has greater firepower. And the people that are doing it are outlaws. They don't recognize authority. So they, God forbid, they run shot over the policemen, they kill them, they enter into the bank, they take the money. It's not the will of God. That's what happens spiritually. Say, ha, Pastor, why is that so? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Why? God is faithful. Everybody scream it. Who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to bear? Watch this. But with the temptation will make a way of escape so you are able to bear it. And like my wife always prays, to see the way of escape, to take the way of the strength, the wisdom to see it, and then the strength to take the way of escape. Watch this, brethren. If God has made AK-47s and uses available spiritual ones available to me, and I put them on the back shoulder, I just got a tweet. Again, this was from heaven. It's not. I just got a tweet. He said, "My people are fighting 21st century devils with 18th century weapons." I'm going to bring revelation of John Wesley and the revelation of that. What they did was right in their time. And we still build on those foundations. But there are some things that, you know, you can't go back. You have to use the present. That is why epignosis, revelation is called present knowledge. Present knowledge. God has made available. You're not trying to fight. Satan is coming against you with automatic weapons. And you are trying to fight him with, you know, clean load and fire. In the 21st century. That's why many times he's running short over us. It is our responsibility to have the knowledge. You know, that AK-47, I'm just using it as a natural example, or the Uzis, the guns that Israeli soldiers use. You know, it's a short gun, you know, but it's an automatic weapon. You know, it took technology, thinking, manufacturing to make them. Are you listening to me? Spiritually is the same thing. That's why you need to come to church. That's why you need to pray and read your Bible so you can put your weapons together. When you face that guy, you're facing him with weapons that, you know, the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. You can't do it, you know, just praying in the understanding. You know, you even see people, too, you know, they want to cast out devil. Satan, in Jesus' name, I command. That guy knows you're not serious. He asked one guy, he said, "Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you?" When you say, "In Jesus' name," the guy knows you're in for business. I command you. You don't say it apologetically. You say it with understanding. Knowing who you are and what you believe. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So we need fresh revelation, present truth revelation of the weapons of our warfare, the blood of Jesus that cleanses our sins, the life of God. And you know, those are loading in the middle of a battle. You're already loaded before you enter the battle. Am I talking to anybody here? You know, the battle, the bullet, everything is already there. So when you now meet the enemy, all you do is fire. And then you're firing like with an automatic weapon. I bind you in Jesus' name. And you're speaking in tongues of men and of angels. They will flee. You speak with strength. You speak with understanding. You speak with authority. Then you will take the kingdom. The kingdom of God is violent. You're going to take it. It cannot be taken passively. It cannot be taken lazily. Now let's move on. I didn't hear you, honey. Of course there is an adversary. And I'll tell you something. You know, there are two things I don't do about the devil. I don't underestimate him and I don't overestimate him. Many Christians fall into either one category. Some people understand, oh, the devil is nothing. Oh, he's under our feet. No, these people, they don't pray. they're not strong people. You know, the devils, when they hear Christians who talk like that, who don't know, you know what devils do? Laugh. The devils laugh. You know, Satan is not a fool. He knows. You know, he knows people who know what they're doing. He knows what. In fact, those ones, he even tells his troops, say, don't waste your time on them. You know, there are more important adversaries to fight. Then there are Christians who overestimate the devil. The devil, everything is the devil. You know, everything under the chair is the devil. Under his bed is the devil. Inside the book is the devil. You know, in the drawer of his house, there is the devil. Don't fall into either category. Put Satan where God put him. The anointed cherub that covereth. With a place of respect. Not respect in a negative sense. You don't, worship him or anything like that. But he's a worthy adversary. The Bible says that even the angel, the archangel, he didn't rebuke him. He said, the Lord rebuked thee. Satan is no pushover. That is why the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Meaning that he that's in the world is great, but he that is in you is greater. Give him a clap offering, somebody. Now, when you understand that, you have an understanding of who your adversary is, and then you know what you have is greater, then when you go into battle, you go into battle with a sense of responsibility and a sense of determination. You don't just go in there carelessly, because you just think, oh, he's a pushover. In Jesus' name, come. It doesn't work like that. It must be somebody. When I say in Jesus' name, come out of him, there's something inside me. Greater is he. That's why we fill with life and power. So when I say in Jesus' name, it's not just empty Jesus' name. It's Jesus' name that has power behind it. Then he will flee. Now let's quickly go to his righteousness and I'll begin to close. I'm talking about, the kingdom, the dominion of God. And it has to be enforced by the force of spiritual. It's only the violent that take it by force. If you don't take it by force, sorry folks, you're God's child. God loves you, but you're not going to get it. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. He said, the violent take it by force. I like this God's word translation. He says, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing and forceful people have been seizing it. You have to seize it. If you're not forceful, you're not going to get it. And sadly, and regrettably, many Christians have not been taught the fact that they have to fight. They've not been taught that they have to use force. We're dealing with an outlaw. There's only one language he understands, force. There's no negotiation. Now, his righteousness. This is an area that we are very well taught in. So I'm just going to, hit it running. Number one, it's his righteousness, not your righteousness. When we talk about righteousness, we talk about twofold righteousness. There's a right standing. Everybody say right standing. I didn't hear you. Right standing is a spiritual condition in which there is no block between you and God. So that the life and the power of God can flow freely without anything blocking it. That's a simple definition of it. It is attained and it is maintained by the blood of Jesus. That is why it is his righteousness, not yours. The way you maintain your right standing with God is not by doing the right thing. It's by the blood of Jesus. That's why it is his righteousness. It is his blood that was shed that gives me my righteousness. The second thing is right doing. After I have right standing, I now have access, unhindered access to God. So the life of God and the power of God can flow from God into my heart. When it flows into my heart in sufficient measure, it now gives me the spiritual power and ability to do what is right. I cannot do what is right by myself. There is none righteous, no, not one. I am only able to do righteousness by virtue of his life inside me. That is why it is not my righteousness, it is his righteousness. It is him that is at work in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. Give him a clap offering, somebody. It's not my righteousness. So the right standing is not mine. The right doing is not mine. It is his own, but it comes to me by the blood of Jesus for the right standing. And then it comes through me by the life of God, speaking God's word, praying in tongues, walking in the spirit. That's how I That is how I practice, and I practice right doing. I do it by the Spirit. He says, but if ye through the Spirit, not by yourself, do mortify the deeds of the body, he said, you will live. This concept of right standing and right doing by, firstly, the blood of Jesus for right standing, and then doing by the life and the power of God, is alien to many Christian thinking. See, most Christians are trying to do the word of God by trying to be good. They see something in the Bible and they just try and practice it. They see something in the Bible and just try and practice it. It doesn't work like that. It's a noble attempt, and I'm not putting you down for that. But you need to understand that the power to do good, resides only in God. They asked him, they said, good master. He said, who told you I'm good? He said, there is none good except God. So how can I be good? By putting more of God inside me. I put more of life in me and then I do more good. So my goodness is not mine, it's his. Living through me. You cannot understand Paul. He said, for I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Christ liveth in me. Watch this. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by my faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Another clap offering for the Lord. These guys understood it. We didn't understand it. I'm talking about our generation. So his righteousness is something that, he said, it is God. I love that scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures in Philippians chapter 2. It is God who is at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not mine, it's his. It's him working through me. See, when you understand this, you know one thing it's going to remove? Boasting and pride. I. Oh, I did this. I prayed. I fasted. I've learned now. I, by the grace, yet not I, but the grace of God, which is inside. I don't say that to be humble. I say that because it's the truth. I'm not saying that to impress you, to make you think I'm humble and I'm not trying to boast. No, I'm telling you because it's actually the truth. I, yet not I, but the grace of God. And what does grace bring? Zoe. We dealt with the seven keys last week. What does mercy bring? Zoe. It's the life of God. It's the power of God that comes through. So when I even do what is right, I don't boast. Because I know that even the doing right was because he walked in me. So I return back to him all the glory. You know what? Everything now revolves around him, not me. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Woo! Glory to God. Now, let me begin to close. How are we going to do this? Let me first of all deal with the issue of the kingdom of God suffered violence. That is where I've already talked about, you know, the right standing by the blood of Jesus. Then, you know, filling your heart with the life of God using God's word. That's why you need to load with the word of God. You see, the old timers did this thing. They just did not do it with the clarity. They didn't say it with the clarity that we are saying it now. Because, you know, we have better understanding. The Bible says the path of righteousness is a shining light that shines more and more. We have more light now in 2021 than Smith Wigglesworth had in 1921. But the principles have not changed. People like old Smith Wigglesworth, F.F. Bosworth, some of these great guys, John G. Lake, they understood it. They were actually practicing it. Not with probably the clarity and the efficiency which we're practicing it. They said this about old Wigglesworth. He would never go for 15 minutes without reading the Bible. Old Wigglesworth. You know, John G. Lake. You know, F.F. Bosworth. F.F. Bosworth said that he will never leave his house unless he has prayed from some life scriptures. He didn't call it life scriptures. He went to Psalm 119. Go and check his book, Christ the Healer. There's one chapter on praying for life. He said this is the prayer that is more important than all the other prayers. They understood that if I don't have the life of God in sufficient measure inside me, I can't even fight the devil successfully. So right standing with the blood, The life of God comes in it. Then you now pray in the spirit. That's where praying in tongues comes in. Well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. Wherefore, put on the whole armor of God, says the Apostle Paul. Then he gives us all the armor, which in summary is just the armor of love. It's just the fruit of the Spirit. That's why you put it on every day. Daily. Yeah, put it on yesterday. Put more on today. Are you listening to me? Then proceed, he said, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray a few times. Is that what he said? Pray when you feel like it. Praying, you know, when you're moved by the Spirit. Praying always. It means it should be a regular thing. That's why I was talking about good man Jesus. It's the grace of God. Eat daily. He said, take up your cross daily. You engage in spiritual warfare, in the spirit, praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. What are you doing? What are you doing when you're praying with tongues and when you're praying with groaning? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're wrestling with principalities and powers. You have come. You are a stronger man. That has come against the strong man whose goods were in peace. You are now overcoming him and you are spoiling his goods. Give the Lord a clap offering. You're spoiling his goods. Hallelujah. Neka sheka. And don't all the... No! The Bible says Jesus in the days of the flesh, he prayed with strong crying. Strong. Everybody say strong. Say strong crying. Strong praying in tongues. Strong groanings. Because I'm overcoming a strong man. I don't know if I've helped you. So I pray. I pray in tongues earnestly. I pray with intensity. When I do that, I'm able to overcome him in the realm of the spirit. When I've done that, I can now go and take righteousness. So I now say, I enforce the kingdom of God. I enforce righteousness. I enforce peace. I enforce joy in my life, in my home, in my business, in my circumstances. And then you will see it manifest. The kingdom of God, the dominion of God. And then his righteousness. God, he told us how to do it. Told in Deuteronomy chapter 30, he said, listen, this word is not complicated. We've complicated it, but it's very simple. He said, it is not in heaven that you have to go to heaven to get it. You don't have to go across the sea. He said, it is neither in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. Put it in your mouth. Say it with your mouth. At least four times every day. And then in between, frequently, You say it again and then you pray in tongues. Frequent tongues, frequent confession. Everybody say frequent tongues, frequent confession. I love God with all my heart, will, mind, emotions, and strength. I love my brethren as Christ loves them. In Jesus' name, in my soul, then you pray in tongues. Immediately you do the confession in the understanding, you now pray in tongues. What are you doing? You are enforcing his righteousness. So the Spirit of God will be working in your mind, in your will, in your emotions, in your body, in your circumstances. So as you approach situations, temptations, so you overcome all temptations. The wisdom of what to do will just come to you. The strength to do it, the strength to will and to do of God's good pleasure, to love righteousness and hate iniquity, to have fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. You just keep doing the right thing. I'm not talking theory. I'm talking what I practice every day. I know it works. And this is how to do it. This is how to do it. Take the kingdom of God and his life. And you know what? All other things will be added unto you. Then you stop worrying. You know, people are not going to believe what I'm about to say. My wife and I. You know, there are times we don't have 10,000 in our bank account. I know people will find that difficult to believe. Ah, you, Pastor Olubi. It's true. It's happened. It happens all the time. You know why? Whenever God gives us something, he always tells us what to do with it. So the thing just comes and goes. You know? So maybe 1 million or 5 million will come in. Then my wife will just wake up and, you know, she's always praying. Honey, God told me. I said, you have started again. God is always telling you. You know, we should do this and we should send this. And we have to, because God told us. You know? So the money that was 5 million yesterday, by this morning, is only 10,000 in the account. I'm telling you what we're living every day. And I have to tell you because it's practical. You know? He said, then, but on Monday, I have another obligation. That is 5 million. So what am I going to do between today and Monday? Worry or pray? I've learned and I'm still learning. I yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. I've learned to pray all the time. So I've learned now, I don't look at what is in the bank account. My bank account is not the one in the earth. It's the one in the heavens. I pray and it never fails. Ask my wife, it never fails. God will move somebody. God will move, or somebody will make a payment, or something will happen. Because, you know, we're not idle. You know, we have a school, you know, and of course I'm a pastor. You know, people give a title. But God will move within the context of the things that we've made available to him, and the supply will come. So I will not worry for what I'm going to eat. I'm not going to worry about what I'm going to drink or what I'm going to put on. I have learned, stand to your feet as we close. I have learned and I'm still learning. Do you understand? That if you will seek first. See, my first prayer in the morning is not finance. It's not, this and that. No. My first prayer every day, my first prayer is kingdom. Righteousness. I want to enforce righteousness, peace, and joy in my life for that day. And his righteousness. That's my priority. We call us also called being conformed to the image of Jesus. It is after I've prayed that, then I now pray about finance and maybe any other thing. And I've learned that if you seek first the kingdom in the way which I've taught you now, not the way you thought, but the way the Bible says it, like I've shown you now. If you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness in this way which I've taught you now, you know what? You find that the other things will be added. They will be added. Come and ask us. The time you're facing, you know, a need of 25 million. You can't go to somebody and say, please, quickly give me 25 million. You can't go. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I just, to the glory of God. You know, our monthly salaries and all that. So, but God, once we pray, my wife would just say, this person informed me. I said, what did they say? I said this and that. I said, okay, the supply has been made. So I have learned and I'm still learning. I don't worry. You don't have to worry.
And don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning. Love will stay no longer.
Your tears. Get the key.
And if your heart is broken,
just lift your hands and say,
I know that I will make it.
Yes.
I know that I will stand.
No matter. Hallelujah.
That comes my way.
My life is in. You don't have to worry. Let's start again from the beginning on the right key.
You don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid.
Joy.
Joy comes in the morning.
Hallelujah.
So passed away. Oh, but there's a friend named Jesus, who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken,
just lift, lift those hands, lift those hands.
Say,
I know,
that I will make it.
Glory to God.
I will stand, no matter what may come my way. My life is in your hands.
With Jesus I will make it.
With Jesus I will make it.
Glory to God.
With him I know I will stand.
No matter.
No matter what may come my way. My life is in.
You don't have to worry. One more time.
You don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid.
Joy comes in the morning.
Sorrows they don't last.
Jesus
will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken,
just lift those hands.
Just lift your hands and say,
I know, glory to God.
I know that I will make it.
Glory to God.
I know that I will stand. No matter what may come my way.
My life is in your hands. With Jesus I will make it.
With Jesus I will make it.
Glory to God.
With him I know I will stand.
No matter, no matter.
No matter what may come my way.
My life is in his. Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God.
No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands.
Raise that hand, raise that hand, raise that hand. We're going to pray in a minute. I want to tell you something. There is nothing on this earth. There is nothing. I'm getting another tweet. There is nothing in Satan's arsenal. An arsenal is where people keep their weapons. Nothing on this earth. Nothing in Satan's arsenal that can overcome the power of God. Nothing. The problem with us is that we have not accessed that power properly and we don't release it properly. That's the problem. You start. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The Bible says it makes great power available, dynamic in its working, and that guy will run from you. I practice it, so I know. No matter what the situation is, raise that hand. Say, Father, I come in Jesus' name. I thank you for your word this afternoon. Lord, reminding me that it is a sin to worry. It is just as bad to worry as it is to get drunk. Say it. Father, I confess my sin of worry, of fear, of anxiety, of doubt. I receive the blood of Jesus to cleanse my heart from these sins. I receive life and power now in sufficient measure as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you because you're a good God. Not only are you a good God, you're an honest God. You're a faithful God. You told me your word, and I believe it, that you will never allow me to be tempted above what I'm able to bear. But with the temptation, you would have made a way of escape, so I'll be able to bear it. Oh God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Open my eyes, so I will see the way of escape. Give me wisdom. Give me strength to be able to take it and overcome anything the enemy brings. I know you are faithful. If it has come, it means I can overcome it. You will not allow it to come if I cannot overcome it. So I will come back to you according to your word. You said, does any lack wisdom? I will come to you for wisdom. I will come to you for strength. I will count it all joy. I will count it all strength when I face any temptation or trial, knowing that the trying of my faith is putting patience to work. And I will allow patience to have its perfect work in me. So I'll be perfect, entire, wanting nothing, having no defects. And after I have done the will of God, I will receive the promise. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Mercy, Father. Lord Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for your blood. For your life. For your power. In our souls, in our bodies, in our circumstances, in our regional heavenlies, in Jesus' name. If you're here or you're watching television at home or you're watching your computer, you know, and you need healing for your body, just stretch forth your hand. Just say, I receive my healing from the anointing on the word. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Inside this word is healing. Inside this word is deliverance. All you have to do is receive it by faith. Just say, Father, I receive my healing. I receive my deliverance in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My life is in your hand. No matter. Sing it with meaning. My life. One more time. With Jesus I will make it.
With Jesus I will make it.
Oh, sing it, sing it.
With him I know
I will stand. No matter.
No matter what may come my way.
My life is in. One more time. No matter. Life is in your hand. Give him a super clap offering, somebody. Hallelujah. Go out of this place with your head lifted up. Are you listening to me? And serve notice on Satan. Say, you're meeting a new warrior. You're meeting a new warrior. Gone are the days when I cry when you come again. When you come now, I put my weapons on. I clean, I load, and then I begin to fire. And I have automatic weapons that are far superior to your own. And I'm going to blow you to kingdom come.
I just want to add, be merciful. Be merciful. Because God is merciful. To those who are merciful. So with all these things, add mercy. Show mercy to others. Yes. So our Father in heaven will always show mercy to you.
And mercy.